Welcome to the Grace...
Well, there's a few reasons. One of those is that God himself is a revealing God. It's in God's nature to reveal himself. It's in God's nature to make himself known. He does that through speech, through revelation. He speaks to us through his word right here in scripture. He makes himself known to us. But the primary way, the chief way that God makes himself known to us is through his son, Jesus. It's through Christmas. It's about the one who always was entering into our story, becoming visible to us so that we can know God. So if you want to see God, if you want to know God, we need to see Jesus. We need to see the word. That's one reason why he's called the word. Another reason why John uses this language of word is that in Greek, the word that's used here, the term logos that we translate as word, it communicates the idea of logic or reason. So in some sense, we can say that Jesus, the one who's always been, he is the ultimate logic. He's the ultimate reason. If you want to understand the world, if you want to understand your life, if you want to understand anything, you need Jesus, the eternal divine logic. He's the only one that can provide real logic and reason for you. That's another reason why he's called the Word. But perhaps one of the biggest reasons, the one I want us to focus on, is the one that John focuses on in this next verse, is this. Throughout the Old Testament, the language of the word is used to refer to God's powerful activity in creation. And look at what John says about the word in verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This is another statement that we cannot overstate the magnitude and the importance of. What this is saying is that Jesus, the Christ child that's born to us at Christmas, the one that we need to be beholding this season, not only has he always existed, but everything that currently exists now, it only exists because of him. Jesus, who is the divine pre-existent word, he created everything. There is not a single thing in existence that was not put into existence apart from the divine word, Jesus. And there is not a single thing in existence that is also not held together and sustained in its existence apart from Jesus, the divine word who existed in all of eternity past. And John is not alone in the New Testament witnessing to this truth. What John is introducing here in just this short, concise, simple language, it gets developed later in the New Testament as well. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. He says, for by him, he's referring to Jesus, the word. For by him, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. That's the Lamb that we need to behold this Advent season. The author of the letter to the Hebrews says something similar. As that book opens up with the very first verses, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God in the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Folks, the story of Christmas is a story about the very creator of the universe entering into human history as one of his own creations. Behold the Lamb who created everything and who, like a lamb, humbly and gently was born to us, even as a baby. You know, earlier I mentioned that we all have different aspects of Christmas that we enjoy most. And I know for some of us, probably for a lot of us, that's the receiving of gifts and the opening up of presents. And even if it's not your favorite part, I mean, come on, we all like opening up presents, right? We enjoy getting gifts, especially when we kind of see them wrapped up under the tree, we get excited. So let me just ask you this Christmas, what is it that you are most excited about getting for Christmas? I see some of you maybe exchanging some looks. All of a sudden you want to take notes on your worship guide. Oh yeah, what I want for Christmas, right here. Looking at the person next to you, see what I want for Christmas. And I truly hope that you get what it is that you most want. At the same time, I hope you don't put too much emphasis on what you're getting for Christmas. And specifically this Christmas, as you take some time to slow down, to behold the Lamb, regardless of whether or not you get what you want for Christmas, the thing I want you to see is that what you need most is not a created thing. What we all need most is the Creator. And what we see here in the first chapter of John's Gospel is that Christmas, even more than it's about unwrapping created things, it's about our Creator wrapping himself in human flesh and giving himself to us as a gift. That's what we need to see. If we really want to understand what Christmas is all about, that's what we need to see. That's who we need to see and behold this Christmas season. That's the second thing that we need to see about the Lamb. Now, lastly, number three, we need to behold the Lamb who overcomes darkness with light. John wraps up these first few verses in verse 4 and 5. He says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And here what we see is some of the key ways that Jesus, the Word, is going to be referred to throughout all of John's Gospel. He is the life. He is the light. As we sang this morning in our opening song, "Hark the herald angels sing, light and life to all he brings." So what does that mean? What does it mean that he is the life and the light? Well, rather than me just to kind of explain those words to you, I want us to hear from the incarnate Word himself. Listen to these verses throughout John's Gospel from Jesus himself. There's gonna be a lot of these. You're not gonna be able to write down the whole verse. Maybe just grab the reference. And it may even overwhelm you how quickly we're gonna move through all of these. That's what I wanted to do. I want you to be overwhelmed by the life this morning. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." John 5:26. "For as the Father has life in himself," that means that he doesn't rely or depend on any other thing for his life. "As the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself." Again, this is Jesus speaking. John chapter 6, verse 33, he refers to himself as the bread of God. He says, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." John 10:10, he's speaking of his sheep, his followers. He says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." John 10:27-28. He says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand." It says in John 11:25, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." Jesus is the life. He's the one who always was. He's the one who created everything and he gave us life. And he's the one who gives us real life, who gives us abundant life, who gives us eternal life. And Jesus, as the one who gives life, he also shines light. Now this time, I'm not gonna overwhelm you with a whole list of examples. This time I just wanna give you two. Just two examples also from John's Gospel about how Jesus himself talks about him being the true light. He says in John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And finally, Jesus says in John chapter 12, verse 46, he says, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." Now think about that picture. I mean, what happens in darkness? If you're surrounded by total darkness, what do? You just kind of stumble around. You don't know where to go. In fact, if you're left in darkness too long, if you're left in complete and total darkness too long, you'll eventually go crazy. You will eventually lose your mind. You will eventually lose all hope. I think I may have mentioned this up here before, but many years ago, there was a study done where a handful of volunteers were taken and they were subjected to prolonged periods of total darkness. And then after that, they were interviewed about that experience, and all of them said that it was one of the most difficult things that they have ever experienced. All of them talked about this despair that just came over them. They talked about losing their minds. One person said, "There is no amount of money that could ever get me to go through that again." And what this is saying here, what John is saying here, when he says that the light shines into the darkness, that darkness he's talking about, what he's saying is that there's a sense in which our world is currently in darkness. Yes, perhaps it's not a literal darkness. Yeah, the lights are shining right now. The sun's outside. We have beautiful weather for being December and Christmas, and the lights are shining in here. But there is a spiritual darkness. There is a darkness apart from the light where we're just stumbling around. I mean, how often does it feel like that for you in life? How often does it feel like you're just stumbling around? Apart from the light, we're blind. We don't know which way to go. We don't know which way is up. How often do you feel like that in life? How often do you feel like you're just lost? And this is why there is so much hopelessness and despair in our world. It's because of the darkness, unless we have the light. Now think about that. What does light do? And what's the purpose of light? Why do we have light? What does light do? By its very nature, light dispels darkness. It pushes darkness back. It overcomes it. That's what we like so much about light, isn't it? You mentioned for some of us, our favorite thing around Christmas time is the lights. And I don't know if it's my absolute favorite, but for me, I love the lights at Christmas time as well. I love coming in here on Sunday and seeing all these lights around here. And we have lights on our house as well. In fact, as soon as Thanksgiving was over, I was outside. My wife and I were both outside and we were putting up Christmas trees on the house. I was even up on the roof, which if you know me, you know, that's a dangerous thing for me to be up on my roof. But I was up on my roof and I was hanging up the Christmas lights and I was getting ready to put the very last strand on the roof. And I was getting excited to come down off the roof. I was getting excited to go on the ground and to plug the lights in and turn them on to see the lights. And in that moment of anticipation, I learned something so profound. You always want to check your lights and make sure they work before you put them on your house. And so sure enough, we plug them in and there's like a whole section that's out. And so I'm up on the ladder trying to check every little bulb and then I get back on the roof to check the bulb and I couldn't find the culprit. I couldn't find the bulb that was out from being on the roof. And so we had to take the whole thing back down. In that instance, darkness defeated the light, but it was because of my mistake. It was because of me. A few days later, my wife, Katie, we were at home and she sat in the living room floor and she went through and she plugged a new bulb into every single one. And eventually she found all the ones that were out and she fixed it. And we got the lights working. And so I had to climb back up on the roof and put the lights on the house for a second time. And as I was getting that last strand on again, it was right around sunset. And so I came down off the roof and it was just getting dark outside. The whole family came out. We plugged the lights in and they worked. They shone. The lights shined in the darkness. The darkness could not overcome the light or my mistake. And even those little bulbs, even those little Christmas bulbs, the darkness couldn't overcome them. In fact, especially in the darkness is where we can behold them shining so brightly. And what John is saying here is that the Christmas story, the story about the birth of Jesus, the Christ child, the one who we display in our nativity scenes, in our homes. What's really happening here is that this Jesus, the eternal word who made everything, he's come into the world and he has come to shine light, to overcome darkness so that we ourselves, so that we can be rescued from the darkness and brought into the light. He's come into the world so that we won't stumble around, so that we won't be blind, so that we won't be unable to see, so that despair won't grip us, so that we won't be hopeless or aimless or lost, so that by beholding him, by seeing him, the light, the true light, believing in him, we may be rescued from darkness and brought into light. That's what John wants us to see here. That's what I want us to see here, not just in this introduction today, but throughout this whole Christmas season. We need to behold the Lamb. We need to see the light. The light who takes away the sin of the world. The same one who was born to us at Christmas is the same one who laid down his life for us and who was raised from the dead on Easter so that all of us who believe we could be forgiven of our sin, we could be rescued from darkness. And as John pulls back this curtain, as he gives us a peek here into true reality, he shows us the same one who comes to us at Christmas, the same one who will lay down his life, the same one who will be raised again. He has always existed. He has made everything that exists, and he has come into the world to shine light. That's what Christmas is all about. Don't close your eyes to that. Don't miss that this Christmas season. Don't close your eyes to the light. Don't turn your back on the light. Don't remain in darkness. Don't be distracted. Instead, behold the Lamb of God who entered into the world at Christmas. And I hope by now, I hope by this point, you understand that when I say behold, I'm not just saying, look. I'm not just saying, okay, yeah, come on here and look at this. We all see it. Okay, now let's go home. I'm not saying that. To truly behold something means to really look at it. It means to really look at it, to really give it honest consideration, to look at it, to see it with the eyes of our souls, to drink it into the very essence of our beings. That's what I mean when we say behold. And we don't want to just behold. We want to behold and we want to respond. In just a moment, we'll have an opportunity as a church family to respond. To respond to seeing the word, to beholding the Lamb. We have a chance to respond by celebrating communion together, which is a great way to respond to the Lamb. But even beyond that, this Christmas season, we need to respond by not just beholding, but by worshiping. By worshiping the Lamb, by worshiping him, by loving him, by obeying him, by serving him. That is the only right response, especially when we really see who he is. I mean, why do so many of us really get excited at Christmas? Why do we say silly things like, Jesus is the reason for the season? It's because he is. It's because he really is, and he's worth it. Because he always was. He created everything, and he's come into the world to give us light. I pray this Christmas season, you will see that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that by your grace at Christmas, the thing that we celebrate, that you have sent your Son into the world to shine light so that we can see, really see, so we can see you, see who you are, so we can have life, we can have eternal life with you, with the one who always was. I pray this Christmas season, you would overcome everything in us that prevents us from seeing that. Work in us so that we can see that, so we can behold that, so that we can respond in love and worship of you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today, and we hope to see you back next week as our Advent series continues. For additional podcasts, streaming video, a calendar of events, and blog posts, stop by our website, graceinracine.com.